It's not a garden, it's a canvas. And the Home Depot has everything you need to fill yours with colorful annuals. Beautiful flowers like petunias, just $9.98 for 12 packs of assorted annuals. Add a splash of red here, orange and yellow there. Turn that garden into a work of art. And paint yourself a landscape. Start with fresh 12 packs of assorted annuals, just $9.98. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, selection varies by store.
To Voice of the People Radio. This is a political edition, I guess we would say, of the show on United Public Radio Network. Thanks to Joe Montaldo back there in studio control. We are live and on the air. This, of course, is a Saturday afternoon broadcast. We come to you from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're a little abbreviated this afternoon, but that's okay. We're going to be talking about some people who have had their government careers abruptly abbreviated. The latest breaking in this story, now this is the latest in the ongoing saga with McCabe, the deputy director of the FBI, who was unceremoniously fired by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Just keep in mind, he was not fired by President Donald Trump, even though President Donald Trump has twittered about it. We'll get to that in a minute. The media wants to always give you some kind of impression to digest, right? So it's immediately McCabe was fired by Trump, and Trump said, ha ha. Well, there's a little bit more to the story than that. According to the latest breaking news over the last hour here on Saturday with Voice of the People Radio, McCabe kept notes on President Trump the same as James Comey, former FBI director, and gave those notes to special counsel Robert Mueller. The newly fired FBI official, because he stepped down as deputy director a while back so that he could, according to President Trump, coast into his retirement, which was abruptly taken away from him when Attorney General Jeff Sessions terminated his employment at the FBI. Had Mr. Andrew McCabe not been fired from the FBI, he would have been able to retire tomorrow with a full 22-year government pension. Okay, and latest news is saying that there are people on the Democratic side of the aisle who are rallying and trying to make an effort in order to try to save Andrew McCabe's government pension. But newly fired FBI official Andrew McCabe kept personal memos similar to those compiled by James Comey on his interactions with President Donald Trump, who fired James Comey as the FBI director. The memo disclosure today, confirmed to the news by a source close to Mr. Andrew McCabe, comes after the one-time FBI deputy director was fired late yesterday by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Andrew McCabe gave a copy of the memos, which also included what James Comey told him about his interactions with President Trump to special counsel Robert Mueller, who is leading a federal investigation into whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia during the 2016 elections, according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said on Friday night that he acted on Andrew McCabe's termination after a Justice Department Inspector General's report and on the recommendation of FBI disciplinary officials. Andrew McCabe was fired 2 days before officially retiring and becoming eligible to receive his full retirement. Now, part of the media sensation with all of it is because the president likes to go on Twitter. So we're going to read what President Donald Trump tweeted yesterday at 11:08 p.m., so Eastern Time. Donald Trump tweeting, Andrew McCabe fired, a great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI, a great day for democracy. Sanctimonious James Comey was his boss and made McCabe look like a choir boy. He knew all about the lies and corruption going on at the highest levels of the FBI, exclamation point. And that coming directly from the president, from his Twitter account. Now, Representative Mark Pocan, a Wisconsin Democrat, on Saturday extended a job offer to Andrew McCabe so that he could reach his length of service
and get his retirement benefits. Andrew McCabe's firing makes it clear President Trump is doing everything he can to discredit the FBI, Representative Pocan said. My offer of employment to Mr. McCabe is a legitimate offer to work on election security. Andrew McCabe released a statement yesterday, Friday night, suggesting that his firing was part of the Trump administration's, quote, war on the FBI, end quote. Now, President Trump praised the firing. The president suggested on Twitter that reports show McCabe knew all about the lies and corruption going on at the highest levels of the FBI. The president added that he was a choir boy compared with James Comey. So a Trump tweet later in the day alleged that tremendous leaking, lying, and corruption among those leading the FBI and the Departments of State and Justice. Of course, the Department of Justice, headed by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The FBI Inspector General's report is expected to conclude that Andrew McCabe, a Comey confidant, authorized the release of information to the media and was not forthcoming with the watchdog office as it examined the Bureau's handling of its inquiry into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State under President Barack Obama. The FBI expects every employee to adhere to the highest standards of honesty, integrity, and accountability, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said in a statement. Andrew McCabe maintained that his credibility had been attacked as part of a larger effort not just to slander me personally, meaning also the FBI and law enforcement. It's part of this administration's ongoing war on the FBI and the efforts of the special counsel investigation, which continue to this day, he added, referring to Robert Mueller's look into whether there was coordination between Russians and Donald Trump's 2016 for campaign for the White House. Their persistence in this campaign only highlights the importance of the special counsel's work. Now, Donald Trump's personal lawyer, President Trump's personal lawyer, John Dowd, touting the brilliant and courageous example by Jeff Sessions and the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility, said in a statement today that the number two Justice Department official, Rod Rosenstein, ought to now bring an end to the Russian investigation manufactured by James Comey. Now, John Dowd told the Associated Press that he was neither calling on Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney government official overseeing Mueller's inquiry, to fire the special counsel immediately, nor had discussed with Rosenstein the idea of dismissing Mueller or ending the Russia probe. Andrew McCabe, in reacting to his untimely termination, asserted that he was singled out because of the role I played, the actions I took, and the events I witnessed in the aftermath of James Comey's firing in May of 2017. Andrew McCabe became acting director after that and assumed direct oversight of the FBI's investigation into the Trump 2016 campaign. Robert Mueller is investigating whether Trump's actions, including Comey's firing, constitute any obstruction of justice. Andrew McCabe could be an important witness. President Trump, in a tweet early today, said McCabe's firing was a great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI. Andrew McCabe said the release of the findings against him was accelerated after he told congressional officials that he could corroborate James Comey's accounts of certain conversations with the president. Andrew McCabe spent more than 20 years as a career FBI official and played key roles in some of the Bureau's most recent significant investigations. Now, even so, President Trump has repeatedly condemned him over the past year as emblematic of an FBI leadership which the president contends is biased against his administration. Andrew McCabe had been on leave from the FBI since January 2018, when he abruptly left the deputy director position. He had planned to retire tomorrow, and the dismissal probably jeopardizes his ability to collect his full pension benefits. His removal could add to the turmoil that has enveloped the FBI since James Comey's firing and as the FBI continues its Trump campaign investigation that the White House has dismissed as a hoax. The firing arises from an inspector general review into how the FBI handled the Clinton email investigation. That inquiry focused not only on specific decisions made by FBI leadership, but also on news media leaks. Andrew McCabe came under scrutiny over an October 2016. Now, remember, the election was in November of 2016. McCabe came under scrutiny over a 2016 October news report that revealed differing approaches within the FBI and Justice Department over how aggressively the nonprofit Clinton Foundation should be investigated. The watchdog office has concluded that Andrew McCabe authorized FBI officials to speak to a Wall Street Journal reporter for that story, and that Andrew McCabe had not been forthcoming with the investigators. McCabe has issued denials. Now, in his statement, Andrew McCabe said he had the authority to share information with journalists through the Public Affairs Office, a practice he said was common and continued under the current FBI director, Christopher Wray. Andrew McCabe said he honestly answered questions about whom he had spoken to and when, and that when he thought his answers were misunderstood, he contacted investigators to correct those answers. Now, the media outreach came at a time when Andrew McCabe said he was facing public accusations of partisanship and followed reports that Andrew McCabe's wife, during a run for the state Senate in the state of Virginia, had received campaign contributions from a Clinton ally. Andrew McCabe suggested in his statement that he was trying to set the record straight about the FBI's independence against the background of those allegations. Now, with the FBI disciplinarians recommending the firing, Justice Department leaders were in a difficult situation. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, whose job status has for months appeared to be shaky under his own blistering criticism from President Trump, risked inflaming the White House if he decided against firing Andrew McCabe. But a decision to dismiss Andrew McCabe days before his retirement nonetheless carried the risk of angering the rank-and-file supporters of Jeff Sessions at the FBI. Andrew McCabe became entangled in presidential politics in 2016 when it was revealed that his wife, during her unsuccessful run for the Virginia State Senate, received campaign contributions from the Political Action Committee of then Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, who is a longtime friend of Hillary Clinton. The FBI has said that Andrew McCabe received the necessary ethics approval about his wife's candidacy and was not supervising the Clinton investigation at the time. President Trump pounded away on Twitter on Saturday, saying how many hundreds of thousands of dollars was given to the wife's campaign by crooked Hillary friend Terry McAuliffe. How many lies, how many leaks, Comey knew it all, and much more. And so, you know, we have to thank the news media outlets, Associated Press, Fox News, everybody involved in producing that particular segment of commentary that we are running through as we keep an eye on this story here on Voice of the People Radio. Of course, if you'd like to call into the station, the live call-in number is 504-273-7379. Again, the call-in number for the station is 504-273-7379. You might be able to call in and get on the audio board and talk with us here as we talk about this Andrew McCabe firing that is going on. Now, speaking of the Wall Street Journal, it is only in fairness to go back and look at the coverage that the Wall Street Journal is giving this, because the Wall Street Journal was part of the story, of course, with the October 2016 sit-down with the journalists producing that story involving Andrew McCabe, who kept notes about conversations with President Trump, gave them to Robert Mueller. Again, John Dowd, President Donald Trump's personal lawyer, called for the Mueller probe to end on the merits in light of recent revelations. Okay, the Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe wrote memos describing his conversations with President Donald Trump and other events, and has turned them over to Special Counsel Robert Mueller, a person close to Mr. McCabe, has revealed to the media earlier today. So that is ongoing, and it's just, you know, it just gets deeper and deeper. You know, it is just crazy. Andrew McCabe was set to retire tomorrow. Andrew McCabe would be 50 years old tomorrow. He would be able to, under federal guidelines, be able to collect his pension. And it has been looked at as if this is a personal slight, taken to the extent that the president then ordered the attorney general to go ahead and fire him. The media is just taking that slant with it. You know, the internal investigation said that Andrew McCabe lacked candor in speaking to an internal watchdog, which is that this investigative office inside the FBI itself. He wasn't completely truthful and forthcoming with information about this media outlet that he went to, meaning Wall Street Journal, October of 2016. So when you violate those rules, you know, working with the FBI, you should expect that there would be some consequences. In this case, October 2017 was a year after the Wall Street Journal article. It's a year and 6 months, 18 months it took for this. I don't know that the timing is not going to be looked upon as being, you know, anything less than vindictive in the case of the president and Jeff Sessions, but that's how long they've known about this. Of course, Barack Obama was president of the United States up to January 20th of 2017. So it was the Obama administration would have had to take immediate action with McCain speaking to the media in that manner with any kind of investigation. You know, Jeff Sessions, of course, released a statement just prior to 10 p.m. yesterday announcing that Andrew McCabe's 21-year employment at the FBI was being terminated following recommendations from both the Justice Department's Inspector General and the FBI office that handles discipline. So it's not as if the President of the United States made a phone call to Jeff Sessions and said, okay, well, we've got this recommendation. Go ahead and fire the guy. It wasn't done at the last minute. This has been under investigation with the Internal Investigations Department, not only at the FBI where McCabe was an employee, but the Justice Department, which oversees what happens with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States, said that the officials determined that Mr. McCabe had made an unauthorized disclosure to the news media and lacked candor, including under oath on multiple occasions. The FBI expects every employee to adhere to the highest standards of honesty, integrity, and accountability. Of course, he said, I have terminated the employment of Andrew McCabe effective immediately. The firing was recommended by the FBI's discipline office after the Justice Department's Inspector General investigation determined that Andrew McCabe had authorized those FBI officials to reveal sensitive information to the media, i.e. Wall Street Journal, October 2016 article, about an investigation related to Hillary Clinton, who was the former Secretary of State, former official in the Obama administration, which was still in office, and candidate on the Democratic ticket for President of the United States. And subsequently, Andrew McCabe, subsequently, according to this investigation, misled the investigators about his role in the matter. Now, Andrew McCabe stepped down as the FBI deputy director earlier this year after FBI Director Christopher Wray was briefed on the inspector general's probe of Andrew McCabe's behavior. Although he remained an employee of the FBI, he was scheduled to retire just 24 hours after the announcement Friday, 10 p.m. by Attorney General Jeff Sessions of his termination. And the firing is expected at this point in time to prevent him from collecting most of his retirement benefits. Now, Andrew McCabe's attorney said he learned of the firing from media reports and has characterized Andrew McCabe's firing as an attempt to undermine special counsel Robert Mueller's probe into whether President Donald Trump's campaign coordinated with Russians to influence the 2016 presidential election. Andrew McCabe in a statement said, "Here's the reality. I'm being singled out and treated this way because the role I played, the actions I took, the events I witnessed in the aftermath of the firing of James Comey," speaking just after midnight Saturday through a statement. "The release of this report was accelerated only after my testimony to the House Intelligence Committee revealed that I would corroborate former Director Comey's accounts of his discussions with the president," meaning Donald Trump. The House Intelligence Committee, the OIG's focus on me and this report, okay, became a part of an unprecedented effort by the Trump administration, driven by the president himself, to remove me, speaking as Andrew McCabe, from my position, destroy my reputation, and possibly strip me of a pension that I worked 21 years to earn. The accelerated release of the report and the punitive actions taken in response make sense only when viewed through this lens. Thursday's comments from the White House are just the latest example of this. Okay, and it's possible that Andrew McCabe could try to claim his pension package by mounting a legal challenge to his firing. Now, Donald Trump suggested that Andrew McCabe had acted from a place of partisan interest to help protect Hillary Clinton from prosecution during the presidential campaign. Now, a statement from White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Thursday said, "It is well documented that Andrew McCabe has had some very troubling behavior and by most accounts has been a bad actor." Michael Bromwich, McCabe's attorney, characterized his comments by Sarah Huckabee as vile and defamatory. The attorney, meaning Mr. Bromwich, said he had never before seen the type of rush to judgment and rush to summary punishment that we have witnessed in this case. Mr. Bromwich also said that Sarah Huckabee Sanders' statements were quite clearly designed to put inappropriate pressure on the Attorney General Jeff Sessions to act accordingly. Now, personally, I would say that the White House press secretary really doesn't have the ability to put any kind of pressure on the Attorney General who heads up the Justice Department in the United States. I mean, that is just a very presumptive comment, in my opinion, by Mr. Bromwich, who is Mr. McCabe's attorney. Of course, for the ability of the media to be able to put a spin on this to make Mr. McCabe look like he's a victim of a personal vendetta by both President Donald Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions in order to make it look as if Jeff Sessions is having to act as a heel so that he in turn does not earn the ire of the President of the United States and then be fired himself. Of course, painting a picture like that in the news media of the goings-on with the cabinet members and the President of the United States at this point in time is only serving the interests of Mr. Bromwich and, of course, Mr. McCabe in trying to salvage this 21-year pension, which has been the crux of the media attention here because of the fact that he is going to lose 21 years of pension within such a short amount of time of being able to actually simply retire and collect his pension in an orderly fashion. Now, Mr. Bromwich said, "This intervention by the White House in the Department of Justice disciplinary process is unprecedented, deeply unfair, and dangerous," according to Mr. Bromwich's statement. Now, former Attorney General Eric Holder, who served under President Barack Obama, has also criticized Andrew McCabe's firing earlier today. He said on Twitter, "The timing appears cruel and a cave that compromised Department of Justice independence to please an increasingly erratic president who should have played no role here," according to former Attorney General Eric Holder on Twitter. "This is dangerous." Okay. Dangerous. You know, we would be remiss if Eric Holder was using the word dangerous, and we weren't, you know, to bring up Fast and Furious, guns, Mexicans, Eric Holder. That's really all I'm gonna say about that. So you know, take what you hear from people on Twitter who were involved in the previous administration as well with a grain of salt. When it comes to this whole thing. So hopefully we have shed a little bit of light here. And going into the top of the hour, I guess, you know, it really makes you think that people think they're safe. They've worked in the government. They worked at the FBI for 21, going on 22 years. They have the luxury of working as a federal government employee of being able to collect a pension at age 50. I'm sure there are a lot of people in the listening audience for Voice of the People Radio in the United States who wish they would be able to retire or had been able to retire at the age of 50 with a full pension going beyond 20 years of service. You know, there's a culture here within the federal government system, which I think the president, Donald Trump, as an outsider, might have a more independent viewpoint on. Whether he was elected as a Democrat or a Republican in this case, I think is not really germane to the issue. He is looking at a system which is basically allowing a report to come through from an internal investigations office saying that here you have an employee that compromised information that went against the rules in the previous administration. And it looks like there's not going to be a punitive action taken against this employee from the previous administration. Those actions, which the FBI internal investigations and the Department of Justice investigations looked at in the case of Mr. McCabe, happened in the cycle of the presidential election. They happened to coincide with his being able to release information through a press office to the Wall Street Journal for them to put information out into the media, for them to be able to put a political spin on it, is entirely up to the journalists. Okay, but let's not say that these people don't know exactly what they're doing. You're talking about somebody who worked through multiple administrations, okay? Worked during the Clinton administration, 21 years of service in the FBI. McCabe was, you know, in the middle of the Clinton administration, the second term of Bill Clinton, the reelection of Bill Clinton in 1996. 1995, 1996 coincides with when Mr. McCabe began working at the FBI. You're going to say that there's not any political attachment going on here. The man's wife ran for a state Senate seat. Or, you know, a seat in the Virginia State Senate, you know, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, lost the campaign, had the campaign contributed to by Terry McAuliffe, Political Action Committee, friends with the Clinton administration. McCabe came in as an employee in the FBI during the second term in the Clinton administration, meaning Bill Clinton. Obviously, you know, there's some political shoelacing going on. You have someone who has an interest in protecting or being proactive because there is an influence over the entire career. Albeit, you had the Bush administration for 8 years and then a Democratic administration following that. So there's a cushion in there. There's a level of comfort in there. There's the idea, possibly, that I was hired during the Clinton administration. I owe them one. They made a large contribution to my wife's state senatorial campaign. I owe them one. I'm working as a deputy director in the FBI, or darn well close to it, one of the top five officials in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I owe them one. I'm going to exert what power I have, and I'm going to provide the media with some fuel for the fire in one way or another. You cannot offhandedly dismiss a political connection in this case, in my opinion. Just my opinion, but it's kind of hard, you know, kind of hard not to, you know, just because that's just the fact of the case. You know, 21, 22 career down, you know, down the drain, you know, according to the Washington Post. I'll just go with the headline here. Washington Post: we're not sure why Andrew McCabe was fired, but Donald Trump's tweet suggests the worst. Really? Editorial board of the Washington Post says more than the details of the case. President Trump's tweet earlier Saturday, which is today, and you're listening to Voice of the People Radio on United Public Radio Network as we go into the top of the 5 o'clock hour. If you're listening to us on East Coast time, we'll be here with you until 6 p.m. with Voice of the People Radio, and then followed by Michael Angley, who comes up with the Michael Angley Show and happenings in the Finger Lakes region up there in New York, which thankfully has not been hit by a fourth nor'easter in a row with the bad snowstorms that were going on up in the northeastern United States. But another kind of storm happening in Washington, D.C. More of the details of the case. President Trump's tweet earlier today celebrating the firing of former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe is what stands out. According to the Washington Post editorial board, they're calling it a marquee, meaning Twitter, is being used as a marquee of bullying and unseemly behavior by a president of the United States. Mr. Trump acts like a nasty, small-minded despot, not the leader of a democracy more than two centuries old in which rule of law is a sturdy pillar. If there's a doubt that the timing of Mr. McCabe's dismissal was driven by political vengeance, Mr. Trump does everything he can to prove the worst with his own sordid words. This is the language of a banana republic in nations without a strong democratic foundation, tyrants clinging to power by belittling perceived enemies and insulting and co-opting other institutions such as a free press, law enforcement, and the military, coercing them into subservience. Just look around the world at practices today in Azerbaijan, Cambodia, and Turkey, to name a few. The Banana Republic playbook has no place in the United States, not in a town hall, not in a state house, and least of all in the Oval Office. According to the Washington Post editorial board, Mr. McCabe is a 21-year veteran of the FBI and served as deputy director under James Comey, who President Trump fired earlier. And I'd like to say I resent myself personally, the Washington Post editorial board purposely using the title Mr. Trump. He should be referred to as President Trump. It is an article. He is the sitting president of the United States. Whether you hate the man or not, respect the office. Okay, you're going to talk about democracy. You're going to talk about the pillars of things and respect and coercing people. Don't dumb down the American public by disrespecting the president, not calling him by his title. They would say President Obama, say President Trump. Okay. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that didn't like having to say President Obama. They did it anyway. Pretty sure a lot of them are probably working over at Breitbart, but that's, you know, that's their own problem. A Justice Department Inspector General's report, not yet public, reportedly found that Mr. Andrew McCabe authorized the disclosure of sensitive information to the media, Wall Street Journal, 2016, October, about an investigation involving Secretary of State under President Obama, Hillary Clinton, presidential candidate in October of 2016. And Mr. Andrew McCabe, according to this not-yet-public report, misled investigators. According to the Washington Post editorial board, Mr. McCabe disputes the allegations, noting that he had authority to share the information and corrected what he told investigators. Did so through the press office. And he previously stepped down from the deputy director's job and was preparing to retire from the FBI tomorrow on Sunday, which would have assured him of a full federal pension. The rush timing of the firing on Friday night by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, whose own job security is perpetually threatened by President Trump, again, they say Mr. Trump, robs Mr. McCabe of that full pension. Now, it would be entirely incorrect to say President McCabe being robbed of full pension. So why are you saying Mr. Trump? It's derogatory, okay? Editorial board of Washington Post or not, that is derogatory. As President Trump knows, Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III has been reported to be looking into possible obstruction of justice charges in the firing of FBI Director James Comey. Andrew McCabe could be a vital witness in such a prosecution. Now, the president has attempted to discredit and lauded the punishment of a potential witness against him, an affront to the integrity and independence of law enforcement. Now, Andrew McCabe's actions as deputy FBI director are hard to evaluate without release of the inspector general's report, which is due out later this spring. There will be time to judge Andrew McCabe's behavior then. What is clear today is that the president jumped on Mr. McCabe with unseemly ferocity. Of course, then there is a tweet quote there, so we're just not going to go down that road of re-quoting the re-quoted tweet. It's kind of like the investigation of the investigators into the investigation. In fact, the working men and women of the FBI, the Justice Department, the intelligence agencies, and elsewhere in federal government come to work every day to uphold the values of a democratic system based on rule of law, a system that is distinguished by the simple principle that everyone is judged fairly, not by grudge or by whim, and that no one is above the law, not even the president. Okay? There you go. That's the editorial board of the Washington Post, with the obvious omissions of calling President Donald Trump by his proper title of President of the United States, and thereby adding their own form of jump up and down and stomp on everybody. I mean, really, Ruth Marcus from The Washington Post, with an opinion article, postpartisan. Okay, so at least that's up front. Postpartisan. This is not the country I live in. In my country, in our country, the ruler doesn't call in the head of the state police and demand proof of loyalty. That is because in our country, the ruler is an elected term-limited official, and the state police is, or is supposed to be, an independent, professionalized entity. Well, you know, first of all, Ms. Marcus, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is not the state police force. Okay, the FBI is not the KGB of the former Soviet Union, and it was never intended to be. Yes, it was supposed to be an independent, professionalized entity operating under the auspices of the Department of Justice, headed by the Attorney General of the United States. I'll go on with what she was writing in her opinion piece. Indeed, the FBI director is granted a 10-year term, longer than even a two-term president may serve, not only in order to constrain the FBI director's power, or in other words, prevent another J. Edgar Hoover from abusing authority, but also to shield the FBI director from being the tool of any particular president. As Andrew Kent, Susan Hennessy, and Matthew Kahn, writing in Lawfare, reminded us after President Trump took the extraordinary step of firing FBI Director James Comey, just the second time that it happened in the history of the Bureau. The 10-year term was established in the wake of Richard Nixon's abuses of the FBI during Watergate. The Lawfare web post notes that Nixon's acting FBI director and nominee for the permanent post, L. Patrick Gray, had resigned in 1973 after it was revealed that he was giving the White House daily briefings on the FBI's Watergate investigation and that he destroyed documents relative to the inquiry. Now, that was loyalty. Postpartisan column, Washington Post, and the source is Ruth Marcus. So again, take things from the media with a grain of salt in this case. President Trump, as we know from Comey's testimony, pressed former FBI Director James Comey to pledge similar fealty before firing him. You know, in other words, pledge his loyalty to President Trump as if President Trump was the lord of the manor and James Comey was one of the knights, assigned to protecting the land and the animals from being poached and from the farmers being robbed. It is not the Middle Ages, though, folks. It's the 21st century in the United States of America. And now we know from the Washington Post's Ellen Nakashima, Josh Dossi, and Devlin Barrett that President Trump summoned James Comey's temporary successor shortly after Comey's firing for a get-to-know-you session in which the pleasantries quickly turned sinister. In the dark wake of James Comey's ouster, President Trump wanted to know whether Andrew McCabe had voted for him or his opponent, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. This was inappropriate. Now, Andrew McCabe, the Washington Post reports, gave an answer that was true, conveniently exculpatory, and disquieting. He had not voted for president. And she says, I wish McCabe had gone further. I wish he had said, and granted it's hard to admonish a president, that his vote was a private matter, none of anyone's business unless he chose voluntarily to share it, and certainly none of the president's business, given the need for the FBI to remain independent and unpoliticized. President Trump being President Trump, it didn't end there. According to the Washington Post, the president also vented his anger at Andrew McCabe over the several hundred thousand dollars in donations that his wife, a Democrat, received for her failed 2015 Virginia State Senate bid from a political action committee controlled by a close friend of Hillary Clinton, meaning they were collecting money for Hillary Clinton 2016 presidential campaign, and money that was generated there was handed over for Andrew McCabe's wife's 2015 Virginia State Senate bid. So this is another case of a journalist, and they're, again, proving that point if you want to take that side in the argument of, I owe them one. In McCabe's case, the Political Action Committee, before the 2016 election, made a very generous contribution to his wife's 2015 political campaign for Virginia State Senate. So you cannot say that the shoelaces are not tied together from both shoes here, and that it is not a political situation involving the Democratic Party. No surprise that this fact enraged President Trump, who makes no distinction between family and business. Both exist to serve President Trump's interests. The notion that a husband and wife could pursue individual careers and take pains to keep them appropriately separate would never occur to President Trump. Now, speaking to reporters Wednesday, President Trump in classic form said that both he didn't recall asking Andrew McCabe about how he voted and dismissed the notion that asking him this very unimportant question would matter. The president said, I don't know what's the big deal with that. And he doesn't. Now, a reminder about the FBI director history, President Jimmy Carter named a Republican William H. Webster to head the FBI. President Bill Clinton named a Republican Louis Free to do the same job as director of the FBI. President Barack Obama extended the term of then FBI director Robert S. Mueller III, a Republican, for 2 years, and then President Obama named another Republican, James Comey. Of course, for appropriate positions, the president gets to name political appointees and take into account, when naming those political appointees, their personal politics. But our country has a civil service that provides a continuing core of expertise from administration to administration. And that is what people supporting Donald Trump call the deep state. Nowhere is the independence of that group more essential than in the arena of law enforcement, and nowhere has that independence more rankled President Trump. The best witness on this, as always, is President Trump himself. You know, the saddest thing is that because I'm the President of the United States, I'm not supposed to be involved with the Justice Department, President Trump said in an interview last November 2017 with a conservative radio host. President Trump went on to say, I am not supposed to be involved with the FBI. I'm not supposed to be doing the kinds of things that I would love to be doing, and I'm very frustrated by it. No doubt. The reason Trump is not supposed to be involved with the Justice Department or the FBI involves the power those institutions wield to investigate and prosecute crimes. The imperative that this power not be used to punish political enemies or shield political allies. And the accompanying imperative that the public be able to trust in the department's impartiality. Thus, the George W. Bush Justice Department brought charges against Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, a Republican. Thus, the Obama Justice Department brought charges against former Democratic vice presidential nominee John Edwards. That both these cases were flawed does not undercut my point about the need for apolitical justice. It strengthens it. Now, the Trump Justice Department has decided to seek a retrial in the case of Senator Robert Menendez, the New Jersey Democrat originally indicted during the Obama administration. How can the public, given the behavior of the Trump administration, be confident that this move is untainted by politics? Now, once again, the what's about it shout out. What about the missing 50,000 text messages between FBI employees Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? What about the secret society of FBI agents supposedly dedicated to exonerating Hillary Clinton and framing Trump? Certainly, it was correct for Robert Mueller, upon learning of the Strzok text, to remove Strzok from the Russia probe. By all means, let's figure out what happened to the 50,000 texts and determine whether or not there was any other misconduct. But let's not allow the fevered cries of conspiracy to distract us from the chilling fact that we live, for the moment, in a country whose president considers the independence of the Justice Department not a feature, but a bug like a bad computer program. You know, very, very, very opinionated there. And then that's fine. And we give Ruth Marcus from the Washington Post, of course, credit for her opinion piece and editorial. She is the deputy editorial page editor for the Washington Post. The comments of the host, of course, are the comments of the host and not those of United Public Radio Network, its station ownership or management. Ruth Marcus contributes to the Post Partisan blog. You can follow her at Ruth Marcus, RUTHMARCUS, on Twitter. You can also follow Real Donald Trump on Twitter if you so feel like it. You know, it's just crazy, okay? And then what is the media, you know, been focusing on with all of this? Up until the firing of McCabe, the news media in the United States had been almost exclusively focused on the story of a pornography actress and the president of the United States, Stormy Daniels. Obviously, hopefully I will correct myself, hopefully not actually having been named Stormy by her parents and then pursuing a career in porn, whether or not whatever was going on involved the president. Stormy Daniels on Twitter has the air of a very smart cat batting off a series of very dumb mice who come at her under the delusion that the relationship is reversed. Skank, one man, tweeted at her on Friday. The word was misspelled. And, of course, this continues on. As news shows bring on panel after panel to discuss adult film actress Stormy Daniels' lawsuit against President Trump and the 2006 sexual encounter that she alleges they had, Stormy Daniels herself has remained off the interview circuit. Through her attorney, she declined an interview for any media piece, but she's remained on Twitter, like the president, the only medium through which the woman who is currently the most famous porn star in the world can show us how she's handling things. Online, she is quick, unflappable, and relentlessly thick-skinned. The other interesting thing is that it could be a personal assistant. It could be somebody that Stormy Daniels has professionally hired to handle her Twitter account in order to have a positive image in the mainstream media. Any woman who has ever laughed off an insulting comment because she feared the repercussions if she didn't knows exactly what Stormy Daniels is doing, pulling these strings online. Reading her entire oeuvre, her responses to critics on Twitter seem as if they could have been crafted only by someone who has spent her life in a career that puts women in vulnerable positions. Naked on stage, naked in front of a camera, someone who's learned that angry men often can't be shouted at because it will only make them angrier. Okay, but let's put this into perspective. Porn actress. Okay, no one's put a gun to her head and made her naked on stage. No one put a gun to her head and made her naked in front of a camera. And she should understand how angry men react. And if she had some kind of sexual liaison with the President of the United States back in 2006, it's almost a case of who cares, my personal opinion. You know? In other words, you don't get to be an adult sex performer without learning how to handle men as a woman. And Stormy Daniels knows how to handle men all the way out the door. Okay? I mean, adult film star Stormy Daniels sues Donald Trump. I mean, that's really all we should have to say about this. It is just crazy. You know? Unlike Stormy Daniels, President Trump on Twitter is the opposite of acting like a thick-skinned, unflappable person. President has used Twitter to call his detractors crazy, psycho, and total flunkies. Stormy Daniels and President Trump online, one of them is often lewd, petulant, brash, and self-involved. The other one is a porn star. Of course, the Me Too movement ushered in a lot of discussions about how women have been forced to grapple with sexual harassment in the real world and online. It also introduced a re-examination of several sexual accusations made by women against the sitting president of the United States. Daniels, who says her encounter with President Trump was consensual in 2006, is an example of the latter group. She is also an example of the former. Slut and whore are words used by people who feel threatened. She responded on Twitter to someone who had tried to shame her. I find power in them. Now, the thing is, sometimes people think they're grabbing a pussycat when they're actually grabbing a lion. So good for Monica Hess, good for Stormy Daniels, and good for Stormy Daniels for getting paid $130,000 by President's longtime attorney, who paid Stormy Daniels $130,000. And then I guess Stormy Daniels decided to return $130,000 because the President of the United States personally had not signed a non-disclosure agreement that the attorney presented to Ms. Daniels in order to receive said money. So, you know, one of the other questions, and it's not a hard question, to answer, because you'd have to say in a lot of cases, where did she get the $130 to repay the attorney, porn star? I mean, so it's not like it was an office worker that said that the president sexually accosted her while an employee for the Trump Organization or NBC Comcast Media, where the president had his reality program in 2006. We're talking about a porn star. So she probably is worth a little bit more than $130,000, or whatever it was that the president's attorney ultimately ended up paying and then recouping on behalf of how this works. I mean, it's just bizarre. But that was the news item of the past week before the big storm that came along with Andrew McCabe, ex-deputy director of the FBI, being summarily fired by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, not fired by President Donald Trump. Can we be a little more clear on that, please? That he was not fired by President Trump. President Trump didn't post on Twitter, "You're fired," in all capital letters. It was done through the proper channels. It was done after proper investigations, both by the Internal Investigations Division at the FBI and by the Department of Justice. Okay, so you're involving the Department of Justice, the State Department. Firing earlier this week had absolutely nothing to do with any of that. The president was not going on another headhunting rampage in the cabinet. This was a thing that was a long way in coming. This has been under investigation probably since the Wall Street Journal article was first passed through the filter with James Comey as the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation towards the end of the FBI's, however we want to call, hands-off involvement with the presidential election, when the FBI director, Comey, of course, then shortly after this information was given by Mr. McCabe to reporters at the Wall Street Journal, Comey then had to make the infamous statements that he did regarding the emails and the email server and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who was the Democratic presidential nominee. And everybody that was paying attention to it at the time, you know, wondered, were there criminal charges pending? We wondered that ourselves here on Voice of the People Radio. It was a topic of discussion amongst the hosts here on United Public Radio Network. There were panel shows about Hillary Clinton and her email server. And by the way, if you're curious about how people were actually reacting and not reacting to this story, go back, find the archives, go to SoundCloud, do a search, go to UPRNtalkradio.com, go over to SoundCloud.com/UPRNradio. You will find the show archives. You can go all the way back to September, October, November of 2016. And what happened with these pronouncements by the then FBI director. It's not like you're trying to dig through and actually find those emails yourself. The emails still haven't been found, okay? 18 months later, year and a half, emails not found, and internal investigation finding, of course, found. That report will not be coming out, by the way, from the Justice Department until later this spring. So we will have the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, about what happened with Mr. McCabe when information comes out from the Department of Justice. It's also going to be very interesting to find out if any of that information from that forthcoming report says that it has been redacted, meaning blacked out, so that in the interest of national security, any information pertaining to said investigation is not released to the public and to the news media. I have a suspicion in this case that former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe is not going to be afforded that luxury, and that none of the line items in this report that somebody might care about redacting or blacking out are going to be deemed sensitive to national security interests at the time, because I'm going to toss a coin up in the air. I'm going to take a guess that before the internal information on the report is disclosed to the media, we will have a closure by the Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Justice Department of the Robert Mueller Russia investigation. Not that Mr. McCabe had anything to do with the Russia investigation per se, or whether or not it would end up being ongoing, or how the outcome would come out. Just that I think the investigation will be over by the time the report comes out from the Department of Justice about Andrew McCabe. Okay. Just taking a guess. I cannot see, and I've said this on Tuesday's Voice of the People Radio, I cannot see the legitimacy of a minority Democrat investigative committee continuing to basically stay in business with taxpayer money being spent on an effort to ride out the 2018 midterm elections strictly on the off chance that there is enough seats lost by the Republican Party to put the majority position onto the shoulders of the sitting Democratic committee members so that they then miraculously find themselves in a majority position and controlling the investigative committee, the House Investigative Committee, which is conducting this investigation with Robert S. Mueller as basically the head of the investigation, almost a chief figurehead. The way this is looking, if it was portrayed in the media, he would be portrayed as a figurehead, and they would be saying that he's only serving, you know, at the behest of the President of the United States, and if the President decides to wake up tomorrow and not like Robert Mueller, then he's just going to go in and say, "You're fired." You know, not going to happen. You know, just really, you know, not going to happen. Just insane. You know, as insane as the President's tweeting is the fact that Andrew McCabe gave memos that he kept on his conversations with President Trump to Robert Mueller, who's the head of this investigative committee. It's just very, very crazy. You know, again, let's go and elaborate on this. Okay. Just, you know, just so people know, President Trump's personal lawyer, Mr. John Dowd, called today for an end to special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into the Russian election interference, citing recent revelations and the late-night firing of former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe as a basis to end the probe by special counsel Robert Mueller. In a statement to NBC News, attorney Mr. Dowd said he hopes that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will choose to end the investigation on the merits of the FBI Inspector General's recommendations to fire Andrew McCabe. Quoting Mr. Dowd, he said, "I pray that Acting Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will follow the brilliant and courageous example of the FBI Office of Professional Responsibility and Attorney General Jeff Sessions and bring an end to alleged Russia collusion investigation manufactured by Andrew McCabe's boss, James Comey, based upon a fraudulent and corrupt dossier," according to Mr. Dowd. Mr. Dowd went on to clarify that he was not calling for Mueller to be fired, but that he wants the investigation to end in light of revelations after Andrew McCabe's firing. Attorney General Jeff Sessions accepted the FBI's recommendation to fire Andrew McCabe on Friday after an internal Justice Department review concluded that Andrew McCabe made an unauthorized disclosure to the media and lacked truthfulness or lacked candor on multiple occasions with internal investigations. Of course, Mr. McCabe swiftly hit back, arguing that he was fired as part of the Trump administration's ongoing war with the FBI and the efforts of the special counsel investigation. Now, Mr. Dowd, President Trump's attorney, his comments today add fuel to the firestorm surrounding the FBI deputy director's firing, which some Democrats and former members of the intelligence community are likening to a political hit job. Andrew McCabe has since hired Michael Bromwich, his attorney, and a former inspector general of the Justice Department, to represent him in his case with the firing. Of course, the Daily Beast was the first to report the news of Mr. Bromwich being hired by Mr. McCabe. Now, Mr. Bromwich again called Mr. McCabe's termination a deplorable rush to judgment, and that it was done. He was fired purely for political gain. He said it should make all federal employees who continue to work for, in a Trump administration that insults, debases, and abuses the employees shudder in the knowledge that they could be next. You know, obviously a good selling point if he's looking for more clients coming out of any future firings from the Trump administration. Now, President Trump has previously tweeted attacks against Andrew McCabe's credibility on the basis that his wife Jill received donations from Democrats during an unsuccessful bid in 2015 for state office in Virginia. In a phone call, President Trump also suggested that Andrew McCabe ask his wife how it feels to be a loser in an apparent dig at his wife's unsuccessful political campaign. President Trump continued along those lines today in a tweet, alleging that the media is beside themselves that Andrew McCabe was caught and he was called out and fired. So we're going to give the president an opportunity for his free time, his open and equally balanced coverage here on United Public Radio Network. President Donald J. Trump from Twitter saying the fake news is beside themselves that McCabe was caught, called out, and fired. How many hundreds of thousands of dollars was given to his wife's campaign by crooked Hillary friend Terry McAuliffe, who was also under investigation? How many lies? How many leaks? James Comey knew it all and much more. Mr. Dowd, President Trump's attorney, told NBC News that he decided to speak out on the issue in a personal capacity, stressing that his remarks were not reflective of President Trump's beliefs. Just like the remarks of Mr. Dowd, Mr. Comey, Mr. McCabe, the President of the United States, not those opinions held by United Public Radio Network, this host, station ownership, or probably even the members of the audience. Despite the clarification, Mr. Dowd's called and the investigation has left some Democrats concerned that Robert Mueller's ongoing Russia investigation could be threatened. Mark Warner, Democrat of Virginia, the vice chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, focused on that point, again going to Twitter on Saturday, saying that every member of Congress, Republican and Democrat, needs to speak up in defense of this special counsel now. So obviously, the Honorable Mr. Warner from Virginia feels that democracy itself is being threatened and the office of the special counsel is being threatened by the administration under which he is currently holding the vice chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Hopefully his future remarks will also be able to hold a modicum of intelligence as well. You know, this whole thing about the president wanting to fire Mr. McCabe because Mr. McCabe kept memos. I doubt quite seriously that the president had anybody going and looking through Mr. McCabe's personal things or through his computer, finding out that he kept personal notes on his conversations with the president. I'm pretty sure the president, you know, smart enough to realize that people that might be in an adversarial position within the government, we're not members of his political party, are quite willing and able to do such things as hold information or compile information based on their own activities during their employment with said federal government as they go through multiple presidencies. Just as we talked about the FBI directors serving 10-year terms so that they are not directly influenced by one president or another. And that's why federal employees can be hired in an administration such as the Carter administration or the Reagan administration or the George H.W. Bush administration, the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, meaning the George W. Bush administration, and the Obama administration. There are probably not very many holdovers from the Carter administration working in the federal government today, but you can pretty much bet that there are people who are in government jobs who were either appointed or approved for their federal government positions during the presidency of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, who did not hold with the opinions during the Clinton administration and the Obama administration, meaning they could have been appointed by a Republican president and they didn't really have to worry about losing their job just because the president was a Democrat. People in the news media and some of the people in the federal government today who coincidentally were hired into the federal government under the Clinton administration should be concerned about everything and anything having to do with Bill Clinton, former president of the United States, and his wife, former secretary of state, former senator, former first lady of the United States, because those political ties are a little bit longer. And when you start your career under the auspices and the good graces of the Clinton administration, and you think that you might be ending your career under the auspices of a new Clinton administration, you might feel compelled to go out of your way to do something about making sure that there is a Clinton administration in 2016. I think that that was probably the case. And I think that, unfortunately, for Mr. Andrew McCabe, his wife received a large political contribution from the PAC, the Political Action Committee, headed by Terry McAuliffe, close friend of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. And there was the IOU one factor. And you cannot say, I mean, you can say that the man's wife, Andrew McCabe's wife, technically cannot be called upon to testify against her husband in a court of law, which is an archaic. And if we're going to be completely honest and brutal about it, outmoded, outdated, and sexist behavior in our justice system. Who's to say, what are we supposed to say now? Because there was a civil ceremony, because there was a same-sex marriage between two males, that the male in the position of wife is unable to be called to testify against his spouse in a court of law? Or are we going to take exception to that because it's a male-male or a female-female or a whatever-whatever relationship? Are we going to start changing the fundamental basis of the common law, both British and American, that we have held in this country for more than 240 years because of changes in legislation? Because we have finally decided we are not going to try to legislate morality in the country, and we're going to be a bit more liberal and permissive and allow that these unions take place and allow for official recognition. And we haven't gone as far with the insurance companies in the United States with allowing for same-sex couples to be afforded the same rights. But we're damn sure going to hold on to those rights when it comes to a husband or wife not being able to incriminate the other in court, especially when it comes to hundreds of thousands of dollars of political contributions. I don't think that there's very much of a separation between the careers of Andrew McCabe and his wife and her failed political try at the state Senate position involving six figures from a political action committee, which should have been supporting the candidacy of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. I would really like to talk to somebody about how you can have a political action committee that's supposedly supporting the candidate from the Democratic Party for 2016, meaning Secretary Clinton. How is it that you're going to go, you know, well in advance of a year before the political campaign for Clinton for president and be shuffling off $130,000 as if it's pocket change for a state Senate election in Virginia. It's a political favor. It was a political favor. It's not just, they have common interest with the political action committee headed by a close family friend. No. Okay, it's a political favor. And Mr. McCabe got caught up on the other side of things because he didn't think he was going to get nailed to the wall because he thought that his political favor was going to be reciprocal and that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was going to win the election and that there would be no President Donald Trump, that there would be no Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He may have even been under the impression that nothing would change. There would be the status quo at the FBI, and he would still be serving under Director James Comey, who had been appointed by President Obama. So everything was going to go good. Status quo. So let's do the political favor, because sine qua non, without which not, the political favor without which not, my career isn't going to ending as smoothly, or I may end up getting a promotion, may end up with a higher pay grade, but let's return that political favor because that, you know, $130,000 in a failed state Senate campaign turns out to be very important. I mean, we'll be honest about it, folks. You know, $130,000 is enough for 40,000 yard signs in a failed state Senate campaign. So let's just, you know, we can generalize, we can make the analogy, and we could say that in the district that they wanted to have her representing the Commonwealth of Virginia in, that Mrs. McCabe was given the benefit of an extra 40,000 yard signs, courtesy of the Political Action Committee, headed by Terry McAuliffe, who's a good buddy with former Secretary Hillary Clinton. So the Clintons got her some yard signs. Now, was it worth your 21-year political career, not non-political career, I'm sorry, your 21-year government career for 40,000 yard signs and your wife didn't get the job in the state Senate? So one could see where the president would act like a 7-year-old out on the playground and say, ask his wife what it feels like to be a loser. You know, not that that's acceptable behavior for a 7-year-old. I wouldn't expect that from my 7-year-old granddaughter. But people have come to expect that from the President of the United States. It's just as one bad turn doesn't deserve another. Media sources like the Washington Post, even if it's an op-ed piece, respect the office, call the President of the United States the President of the United States. Stop referring to him as Mr. Trump. You can refer to Mr. Obama because he is no longer President of the United States. Don't refer to the sitting President of the United States as Mr. Trump. It's insulting. It's also insulting to the intelligence of the American people. You always refer to the President of the United States as Mr. President or President. You wouldn't say Mr. President Trump because it's redundant, but you wouldn't use Mr. Trump because it's not respectful and the title should be used, even if you hate the ground that the man walks on. Use the title. Respect the office. Learn something from the Clinton administration from the 1990s. Because that's why we had George W. Bush as president in the highly contested election in the year 2000, was because people had lost respect for the office. They did not believe that Vice President Al Gore upheld the office of President of the United States. They thought Al Gore believed he was just entitled to be President of the United States because he had been the sitting vice president under the Democratic president for 8 years, and he was a shoo-in for the job. On his own merits, no. You know, what has Al Gore done since then? Al Gore goes out. Al Gore produces wonderful documentary piece on global warming. Al Gore wins an Oscar. Yay, Al Gore. The next time somebody does something inappropriate, hopefully President Trump goes out and appoints former Vice President Al Gore as the head of the special counsel's office. Al Gore was a lawyer. He could handle that. Oh, but wait. Al Gore would have political interest and the shoelaces would be tied again because Vice President under Bill Clinton, 8 years in the White House. There's not going to be very much movement in this country until the Democratic Party, if it is called the Democratic Party, over the coming year and the next year and the year after that, going into the 2020 presidential election. There's not going to be very much forward. Anybody that called themselves a Democrat, anybody that called themselves a libertarian, an independent, a free thinker, middleist, until the ties that have bound all of these people from Robert Mueller on down to the former Clinton administration, who asked a member of a federal grand jury to define what the definition of the word is, as he then lied under oath. Okay, take with a grain of salt, you know, cum grano salis, and look at the source and ask yourself, can you legitimately go into a voting booth and not question voting for somebody with a D behind their name in the next election without wondering if that person has any past ties with the Clinton administration and with the mess that it all is? You know, to me personally, the Clinton administration is like having a septic tank in your yard, and the city came along. The city put in sewer drainage and plumbing. You have an old septic tank in your yard. And what has happened is the city has come along. The city has added brand new water pipes, brand new drains. Your toilet's flushing better than ever before. You've got higher water pressure than you thought was possible. But back there in the yard is an old septic tank. And what happens one day? The septic tank just loses its structural integrity and it starts to smell really bad. And that's what's happened with the Democratic Party. What went on 20 years ago with the Clinton administration is like having that old septic tank out in your yard. Plumbing's been working fine under Obama. I got hot water every day. You open up the window one morning and say, what's that smell? And that's what's been going on at the FBI with these people, because that stench coming in the window is coming home to roost. And it's politically created in nature, and it is its own form of excrement, because we all know that's exactly what our politicians are most capable of producing. So, until the septic tank is remediated, which means you got to get somebody to come out who's willing to dig up that old septic tank and suck all that nasty, put it in a truck, cart it off, and then have it EPA certified for disposal. Thank you, Jimmy Carter. You know, living legacy. The man is a legend for what he has done with Habitat for Humanity. You know, where somebody needs a home, deservedly gets one. You know, Jimmy Carter, the president that failed. That's a book title, an actual book title. You can go to your local library, go onto your library's card catalog, look it up. Look up the book, Jimmy Carter, the president that failed. No, but Jimmy Carter is the only Democratic president in my lifetime that hasn't had a lot of scrutiny, a lot of skeletons in the closet, a lot of bad things happening. And let's just say that's not Jimmy Carter's septic tank out there. Doesn't even belong to Walter Mondale. It's a Clinton septic tank. Until the Democratic Party, United States of America, gets rid of that septic tank, and what's inside that septic tank gets some fresh air on it, it sees the light of day, it is going to affect the quality and content of the political dialogue between the Democrats and the people that they want to represent. It is going to affect every Democrat that's in an incumbent situation in this 2018 midterms, excuse me, in the 2018 midterm elections. Yes, former Secretary of State, former First Lady Hillary Clinton and her failed campaign in 2016 is going to be a ghost in the room with every incumbent Democrat that has seeking office or re-election who was in office during that election. You might be safe if you're a Democrat and you were elected after Hillary Clinton's failed presidential run in 2016. I don't think there are many of those up. I don't think anybody's congressional term is up for renewal. There may be a couple of Democrats here and there that might be on that fringe where they don't completely owe their soul to the company store with the Democratic Party, and they don't have that septic stench attached to their political career, because I think that's what's going to cause the downfall of some people who think that they still have job security. And I think that's a big thing, just like Tea Party Republicans who think that they have job security just because they've been on the job, because they've, you know, they've been around. Well, problem is, just like that septic tank, they've been around. They got this smell too. Just saying. So think about it. Until that septic tank is cleared off, until there are not a lot of ties to Bill and Hillary Clinton, employees, appointees, federal judgeships, it's not going to happen for the Democratic Party, because they're an albatross hanging around the rest of the party's neck. And until the party gets rid of it, it is going to poison and toxify every Democrat seeking re-election. It's going to poison Republicans who are seeking re-election that had ties to anything that went on during that election in 2016 that has anything to do with a Democrat. It's just a bad, bad, bad thing. You know, for several months, Andrew McCabe, former deputy director of the FBI, was the subject of an internal investigation by the Department of Justice. It was reported on this past Tuesday. The Inspector General's office was examining Andrew McCabe's role in the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server, and it came home to roost. McCabe handled the emails that were found on the laptop of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, jail, the estranged husband of top Clinton aide Huma Abedin, during an unrelated FBI investigation. Agents in the FBI office in New York told Mr. McCabe about the existence of the email on Weiner's computer in late September or early October, 3 to 4 weeks before FBI Director James Comey wrote a letter to Congress revealing the findings. And some people say turned the 2016 election almost on a dime, in a lot of people's opinions, against Secretary of State, former First Lady Hillary Clinton. Some FBI officials still believe McCabe intentionally sat on the email revelation in an effort to delay investigating them until after the election. The new emails prompted James Comey to reopen the investigation through his letter to Congress, only to close it again soon after, because the emails were determined to contain no new information. 11 days after James Comey sent the letter, Donald Trump was elected president. So there you go. If you have any questions or comments, or you want to find out how to address those to the station, you can do so at voiceofthepeopleradio@gmail.com. This is your host, Greg Miller, reminding you that it ain't over, and this is ongoing. There will be the release of the Department of Justice findings later on this spring, which will be a topic of that week's Voice of the People Radio. You can check us out either on Fridays, 4 to 6 Eastern Time, or on Tuesdays from 10 to 11 Eastern Time. We will be covering that and other absurdity as it comes along. Thank you for listening to the show. Without you, the listening audience, there is no Voice of the People Radio. Coming up next is the dulcet tones of Michael Angley, coming to you from the Finger Lakes region of the beautiful state of New York, which is formerly represented by United States Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. And have a great afternoon, everybody. Oh, by the way, go to YouTube, click subscribe. Go to uprntalkradio.com, go to the YouTube channel, click subscribe. Don't want to forget that. We need you to go do this, even if you're not watching me on YouTube right now and you're listening to me. Go to uprntalkradio.com, click the YouTube banner at the top of the page, go to the YouTube channel, search YouTube for UPRN Talk Radio or United Public Radio Network, click subscribe. We need to get the subscriber numbers back up. I think we might have to have an investigation into the investigation of the YouTube number of subscribers. But go to YouTube, UPRN Talk Radio, United Public Radio Network, click subscribe. Thanks for listening, everybody. Michael Angley is coming up next, followed by News on the Flip Side, co-hosted by Joe Montaldo back at United Public Radio Network. This has been Voice of the People Radio with your host, Greg Miller. And have a great afternoon, everybody.
It's not a garden. It's a canvas. And the Home Depot has everything you need to fill yours with colorful annuals. Beautiful flowers like petunias, just $9.98 for 12 packs of assorted annuals. Add a splash of red here, orange and yellow there. Turn that garden into a work of art and paint yourself a landscape. Start with fresh 12 packs of assorted annuals, just $9.98, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, selection varies by store.